Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
If you've ever found yourself thinking in recent days, recent months, that this world is becoming more and more evil, more and more filled with evil. In other words, if you've been paying attention to what's going on in society, stay tuned. This podcast is the beginning of a short series about why this is happening and what we can do about it. And yes, there is something that you and I can do about it. We can't change all of society, but we can change how the evil affects us as individuals and how we can help, as individuals, other people become rescued from this evil and overcome this evil and become not only victorious, but leaders in shaping our society into the victory that Christ wants to give it. It happens one person at a time, starting with our own lives, getting our own lives right with the Lord, getting our own lives rid of the evil and the evil influences that have been infiltrating our lives. Because if we don't start there, if we don't have the humility to look inwardly, we are never going to be the victorious champions that can make this world a better place. Recently, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops published a book called Rebuking the Devil. It is all about what Pope Francis has said and written over the past several years. It's a compilation of what Pope Francis says about the devil and rebuking the devil. There's a lot of opinions about Pope Francis and whether he's a good pope or not, whether he is the pope that we need in this time, this age. But despite what you might think about Pope Francis, here's another side of him that we don't often hear about, especially not from the media. Obviously, this man understands how the devil has been influencing our world and our church, and of course our individual lives. If you're old enough to remember what it was like to have John Paul II as our pope, you're like me, you're spoiled. He was a prolific writer and very clear in his communication style. He wrote a lot of wonderful documents, encyclicals. He gave a lot of important, valuable material for us to learn from. And then we had Pope Benedict, who, he wrote a lot, but he was a little bit headier. At least I found him to be headier, more intellectual. His writings were not as much for the everyday person as John Paul II had been good at communicating to. And then we have Pope Francis, who has his own communication style. And it's been frustrating many of us because he comes out and he speaks what is in fact a truth, but it is so easily misunderstood and gets misunderstood because of the age we live in. And we're frustrated that Pope Francis is not defining clearly, clarifying what he meant. And so the age that we live in is warping or has room to warp what the Pope has said. And this is why a lot of people are upset with Pope Francis, calling for clarity, and we're upset because we're not getting it. Well, I would like to share with you some real clarity that Pope Francis has offered on the spirit of the age. The reason why this is a dangerous time to not be clear is because the spirit of the age is very prevalently feeding people with lies, and we do need clarity in the explanations of what we believe and why we believe it. So I'm going to offer you some of the clarity that the Pope has given to us on the subject of evil and what we can do about it. Obviously, this man understands that we are in a battle against evil, and the U.S. bishops are giving us a tool to help us all gain that clarity of understanding about evil and what we can do about it. What's going on in the church today, including in the U.S., you know, there's a lot of distrust in the bishops. There's a lot of frustration that they're not doing enough to fight the evil that has penetrated into the church. But yet, they have put together this book. And so, I'm going to leave the link to it in the show notes of this podcast, and also in the notes that are on the Good News Ministries website, where this podcast is going to be made available there. And also on the Good News Ministries website, because this podcast will be made available there as well. In chapter 1 of the book called Pope Francis, Rebuking the Devil, it begins with a quote from Pope Francis's book that he published before he became a pope in 2010. The name of the book is called On Heaven and Earth. And in it he says that the devil's greatest achievement in these times has been to make us believe that he does not exist. I grew up believing that the devil does not exist, that demons are not real. I grew up in a Protestant denomination, and we never talked about evil as a being with a mind and a plan, an agenda. We did not talk about demons as being something that are real and they know us and they have a plan against us. At the simplest level, the most common level, their plan is to tempt us to disobey God, to tempt us to do things that are bad for us and bad for the world, tempt us to do things that help their bigger agenda of converting the world away from God, converting even Christians away from Christ. Because I grew up believing that evil was just a force of human will, we create evil by choosing to do evil. That's what I grew up with. And therefore, as a child, when I read in the Bible about Jesus doing miracles, I looked around me in the world and said, you know what? We need miracles today too. Where are the miracles? And I did not find it in the church of my upbringing. So I went seeking it where I could find it, which was in the occult. It started with a Ouija board and then seances and, you know, palm reading and all sorts of divination. I got into many different aspects of the occult on my quest to have the supernatural in my life. And I was convinced, I was absolutely sure that I was safe in doing so, because God had to be behind this supernatural stuff. There were no such things in my mind as devils, so therefore, any source of supernatural, the only source of supernatural gifts, was God. A Christian friend gave me a book that gave me evidence otherwise, but I didn't believe it because I didn't believe that the devil was real. Because the devil was telling me that he wasn't real. Because in my exploration into the occult, the demons that I was bringing into my life were telling me that they were not real. They don't want us to believe that they're real, because this gives them so much more freedom to do what they want to do. And what do they want to do? As chapter 1 in this book says, what they want to do is to disrupt God's will and draw human souls into disobedience and eternal separation from God. This is the devil's whole purpose on earth. When I started playing with the Ouija board, I was somebody who had loved Jesus and was following Jesus. I was 14 years old at the time, and all my life, as far back as I could remember, I was a follower of Christ. I loved Jesus. I was saved by Jesus. My life belonged to Him. This did not make the devil happy. And so when I gave the devil the opportunity to turn my head away from that and to begin to fill my head with lies, the first lie being that the devil's not real, and the second lie being, therefore, the only source of supernatural power is from God. When I invited the demons into my life by playing with the Ouija board, those demons began to make the Ouija board work supernaturally, meeting me where I was at, telling me through the Ouija board answers about the Christian faith that at my 14-year-old age I had not yet learned, and that's how I found out that something supernatural was happening. And by meeting me where I was at, they slowly but firmly, surely, led me away from the truth and from Christ. So that after 7 years of involvement of this, I had no interest in church anymore. I had no interest in reading the Bible anymore. I thought less and less about God, and it was more and more about myself, what I could accomplish on my own. Again, turning to this book, the Pope is quoted here as saying that Satan always pretends to be polite, and that's how he enters your mind. But it ends badly if you don't realize what is happening in time. Now, I did realize what was happening in time because Jesus rescued me from the lies. He rescued me from the lies by introducing me to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Another thing that was missing, another truth that was missing from my childhood, was the understanding of how to have a personal, active, alive relationship with the Holy Spirit. I knew how to have it with Jesus, but I had no clue that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way that we could now do the miracles that Christ did, that the Father would do miracles through us in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I did not know that the Holy Spirit needs to be alive in us so thoroughly. In other words, we need such an anointing of the Holy Spirit that we actually have a name for this. It's called the baptism of the Spirit. You know, Jesus said that He came to the earth to baptize with fire. That is the Holy Spirit. This is why in a lot of paintings, you see flames coming off the top of the head of saints that represents that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Or pictures that have been drawn or in stained glass windows of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming down onto the disciples and onto the Blessed Mother. He comes down as flames. Jesus came to give us the baptism of fire. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And without that, we are very easily tricked by the devil, as I was. But Jesus brought somebody into my life who had been anointed by the Holy Spirit, who had gone through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are some classes that the church offers called Life in the Spirit Seminar, which will lead you through it. It's not the only way to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is a way that works. And this friend of mine had gone through that. And I noticed that he had something different that was lacking from my life. And when I asked him about it, he told me about his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I wanted that. So he helped me find prayer groups, charismatic prayer groups that understood and practiced the charisms, the gifts, the fire of the Holy Spirit. When I started going to those prayer meetings, surrounded by all of this activity of the Holy Spirit, working in and through people, I too became baptized by the Holy Spirit. And it was an ongoing process. By continually going to these weekly prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit got a stronger and stronger hold on me. And one by one, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, defeated all the lies of Satan by clearing my mind of the lies and replacing them with the truth. All of the occult beliefs that I had believed in, the Holy Spirit replaced with Scripture and with an understanding of the gifts that come from the Spirit and only from the Spirit of God. And as I went through that process, Jesus delivered me from the strongholds of evil that had entrapped me. As Pope Francis pointed out in his apostolic exhortation on the call to holiness in today's world, in paragraph number 160, he tells us that Jesus gave us the Our Father prayer to help deliver us from evil. Now I'm reading from the book. Jesus wanted us to conclude this Our Father prayer by asking the Father to deliver us from evil. That final word does not refer to evil in the abstract. A more exact translation would be the evil one. It indicates a personal being who assails us. Jesus taught us to daily ask for deliverance from this evil one, lest his power prevail over us. Therefore, a powerful way to pray is to pray the Our Father prayer and ending it the way Jesus intended it to be ended, praying, deliver us from the evil one, because it drives home the point to our minds. It drives home the point to the world around us that we are not just living in a society with an abstract evil, an evil that's caused by people making bad decisions, but we need deliverance from the evil one. And every day we need deliverance from the evil one because, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Sin opens the door for demons to prevail over us. And we sin every day. In minor ways, venial sins, we call them, and sometimes in really big ways. And we need to be delivered from the evil one, not just because of our own sins, but because of the sins of the other people in our lives, the sins of the whole world around us. We are all, to some extent, believing the lies of the world, the lies that the enemy has implanted in the world. And we need the Holy Spirit to clarify the truth and to separate the lies from the truth, to help us to become aware of what is not of the Lord and what is of the Lord. That's why it is powerful to pray, Lord, and necessary to pray, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. We do not need to be scared about this. Sometimes when I talk to people about the reality that demons are real and they are in their lives, people's reaction to that is to get scared. There is no reason to get scared if you are a follower of Christ. If you're not truly a follower of Christ, if you are not living according to the ways of Christ, if you are living in active sin, if you are living in active rebellion against the teachings of the church, against the teachings of Scripture, if you are doing things your own way, making up for yourself what is right and what is wrong, and we call that moral relativism, you are in the grip of demons. You are being politely lied to. You know, the devil comes to us with a soft, gentle voice so that we will believe him. The devil knows how to meet us where we are at so that we will trust what the devil's lies are telling us. And one of those lies is that if we believe that the devils are real, then we should be afraid of them because they have evil power and they can do evil against us. Well, guess what? They're already doing evil against us and we're surviving just fine. You know, it's not like suddenly believing in demons is going to make our lives crushed by evil. Although the plan of the demons is to gradually crush us by evil so slowly that we don't even know we're being crushed until at the moment of our death, they come and greet us. The demons say, come on, come on. We like you. We want you to be with us. Come spend eternity with us. And in very seductive voices, try to lead us to hell. And only if we believe in Christ and want to spend eternity with Christ and call upon the name of Christ will we escape this, because they have no control over our faith. They only have the control in our lives that we give them. Let me give you an example. One time I was visiting a friend out of state and staying overnight in her home. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by my bed shaking, literally shaking. And I could sense that there were demons on the other side of the wall right behind the bed, reaching through that wall because the wall was nothing to them, grabbing onto the bed and shaking it to scare me and chase me out of that home. There was a mission that Christ apparently wanted me to do there that I wasn't aware of at the time. I thought I was just visiting a friend. And those demons hated me so much that they tried to scare me so much that I would flee. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish, because demons can be really stupid when it comes to understanding the mind of Christ. And when we are followers of Christ, we have the mind of Christ in us. If we are truly, truly trying to grow in holiness and working on that, we have the mind of Christ. And this confounds and confuses demons. So I'm not sure what the demons thought they were going to accomplish, but I knew without fear that I had Jesus. And I also knew that all I needed to do to chase them away was to say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. I was frozen in place. There was this demonic oppression on me that froze me in my place. And I couldn't even open my lips to say the name of Jesus. They were doing this to me. They didn't want me to say the name of Jesus because that's how scared they are. That's how they know that they are defeated. They know the name of Jesus conquers them. So because I couldn't open my lips, I started thinking the name Jesus. In my mind, I just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And with every pronouncement of the name Jesus, my lips began to loosen up until finally I could say it out loud. And the moment I said the name of Jesus out loud, the demons fled. The shaking of the bed stopped. Weird, right? But it's an example. It taught me just how much demons hate me. And, you know, I'm constantly in battle against demons because Good News Ministries is on the front lines of the battlefield, building up the faith of people, rescuing sinners from their sins by helping them understand that sin is evil, that sin is hurting them. When Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, ordaining Peter to become the first pope, the first leader of the church, he told Peter that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. The gates of hell don't attack. We attack. And demons know that we have that power just by using the name of Jesus. The gates of hell are locked for people who have not yet turned to Christ, but we can break down those gates simply by using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to evangelize them and help them discover through the power of the Holy Spirit that God is real, that Jesus cares about them, and Jesus is their Redeemer. The world today needs the evidence because the world has been politely lied to, little by little, down through time, down through the decades, so that now our society is filled with even Christians believing the lies of the devil. As I continue this podcast series on rebuking the devil, we're going to get much more deeply into this. We're going to go through more of this book, Rebuking the Devil, and I'm going to share more stories. I'm going to share in the next episode what I learned from somebody who used to be a Satanist high priest, but he was converted by his therapist into finding Christ and being saved from all that satanic upbringing of his. Because he taught me something that has proven true in our society today. And I'm going to share that with you in the next episode. Please share this podcast series with your friends. Please share this with people in your church. Please share this with your priest. Because we are all in a battle and we all have the victory. We are all given the victory in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is now calling the church to rise up and conquer evil wherever it is, starting from within the church and then within ourselves as individuals and in the church itself, and then in society and the world. Join me in this adventure. Join me in the victory. Pray with me now. The prayer that makes all the difference. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with your gifts. Fill me with your supernatural gifts. Fill me with the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with the truth. You have my permission to change me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.